This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'na wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilma. وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. أهلا وسهلا everybody to another part of our Fiqh of Salah series. As usual, we like to begin with some muraja'a. But again, just to look at the topics that we've covered, alhamdulillah, we've covered the ruling, we've covered the iqama and the adhan, alhamdulillah. We've covered the conditions for the validity of the salah, right? Shurut sihhat as-salah. We've covered sifat as-salah. We finished it last week. Today, inshallah, we want to cover the pillars, al-arkan, wal-wajibat, and the obligations. Wa bi-idhnillah, hopefully also cover sajdat as-sahu, which is, a topic we all need to review. And then, inshallah, we'll be covering voluntary next week and the congregation, jama'ah. Salah of the sick person, shortening the prayer, combining the prayer, Salatul Khawf, Jum'ah, Eid, Khusuf, Matar, and then Taban Kitab al-Janaiz for the funeral prayer. Also, they include washing the body and shrouding the deceased, and so on. So, Fiqh of Salah is quite a long chapter. طيب, let's start with some muraja'ah, some review. Shabab, Bismillah, Bada'na. But then, you raise your hand, I didn't even ask a question yet. Oh, it's already there, Tayyip. Tayyip, so the first question is, what's the difference, okay, I ask first, then you can ask. What's the difference between al-iftirash wa tawarruk position? We said that in when we're sitting down, usually what's recommended is al-iftirash and also another time al-tawarruk. What's the difference between them? Who can tell us? Tawaddal Ayman. Since you already took some cookies, Bismillah, huh? So you're sitting on which leg? The left leg. The left leg is under. Naam, it's folded under. Yes, and the right one is standing this way. Naam, ahsant. So this is al-iftirash. And when do we do this one? Can you do it anytime you're sitting? Yeah, so you can do al-iftirash anytime you're sitting. So anytime you're sitting between the two sujoods for the tashahud al-awwal and also for the tashahud al-akhir, right? Or al-akhir. So you can do that, no problem. But what's a tawarruk then? Now, so you're sitting on your bottom, okay? And your left foot, where is it? So it's under your right foot. It's folded under your right foot. It's a bit of an odd position if you've never done it. I showed it last week how it's done. And this is done when? This is between sajdatayn or? This is in the end. Naam. You do this in the end. It's a sunnah. You don't have to do it if it's uncomfortable. And the foot, if you cannot keep it standing, some people have pain in their toes, you can just let it go down. That's fine. When it's tawarruk done, we said that in the end of the salah. The prayer of the woman, is it the same as the man's? Ma ra'yukum? The prayer of the woman? Only the young guys and the other young guys here, mashallah. Is the prayer of the woman the same as the man's?
No.
They said no. You guys agree? طيب, so what's the difference? Na'am. طيب, what about the hands? What are the main difference we mentioned last week? Ish? What did you say, Sari? Okay, and we said that, so in sujood, okay, even like in ruku' sujood, like remember we said the man can kind of spread their hands a bit, right, and their body. For the woman, it's better, astar, more, covering for her to be closer to the body, right, to sit closer and kind of cover herself to the best of her ability. Right, because sometimes she's praying outside, or there might be some people and others looking. and also, we said that Ibn Umar actually, he would tell the woman to pray cross-legged, like the way he's sitting. See how he's sitting now? The way you're sitting, yeah. So Ibn Umar would tell them like that, to pray like that. And aslan, if you prayed like that, it would be fine, technically. You're not, yani your salah is not invalid. But it's not the sunnah for the men to sit like that. The sunnah for the men is to sit the way we showed last time. And Imam Ahmad said it's better for the woman to sit like the men, except her legs would be kneeling towards the right, just like the way Afzal is doing, Uncle Afzal is doing. So her feet are like kind of to the right, yani. It's closer to the way the man is. And both are fine, yani. Both are fine. Wallahu a'lam. طيب, what are the four things that we seek protection from at the end of the salah? We finished at-tajahud. We haven't said taslim yet. We seek protection from four things. What are they? Huh? Jahannam. Adab al-qabr. The fitna and of life. Okay, and fitna of Masih al-Dajjal. Right? Okay. Ahsantum. No, those are the four things. Should always seek protection from. Okay. And I think this is the last question. Can we make dua after the final tajahud? Ma ra'ayukum? Huh? We can make dua? Okay, inshallah, we can make dua after the final tajahud. You can make dua also in your sujood. So two times you can make dua in, is in your sujood. But what about when you're standing in salah? We actually have narrations where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua while he's reading Quran sometimes. Anybody aware of these narrations? So, مثلاً, he'd be reading an ayah about Jahannam, and he will say, مثلاً, you know, a dua, may Allah protect us from it, or something like that. And sometimes you hear imams do that as well. Tamam? And some say that's only allowed in the nafil prayers, like tarawih, etc. You can do that, مثلاً. If you're talking about Jannah or Jahannam, and you ask Allah for Jannah, or you want to ask Allah to protect from Jahannam, هذا جائز inshallah as well. طيب. What are some things that are disliked in salah? We mentioned a couple, like nine or... تفضل. Kinan. Huh? Quran? What do you mean Quran, man? We need Quran. Movement. Yes, so movement is disliked. And if we do too many movements without an excuse, okay, then your salah is batil. Khalas, your salah is... it doesn't count and you have to repeat it. Right? What's a good excuse, we said, for movement? Guys, raise your hand. Naam. Naam. Mental or physical disability. Okay, yeah. Tayyib. Give me something specific. Something common. To move. Huh? Your phone is ringing. You're supposed to leave it or turn it off? Yani, the contemporary fatwa for that is like, it's wajib for you, aslan. It's wajib for you because khushu' the whole jama'ah. You're going to ruin it. Tamam? But if your phone is ringing, it's wajib for you to pick it up and turn it off. Because here you are hurting everybody else in the salah. Especially some of us, we have some music on them or something really disturbing. And then like one time, the guy was swearing. Turn it off before they turn you off. That would be... what are some other things? Yeah, someone has a scratch, a really bad scratch. Scratch yourself, no problem. There's a wasp or something. I mean, if you want to be patient... Take the sting, say your adhkar, it'll be gone. Mafi mushkila. Tayyib. What are other things that we disliked? We mentioned other things. From this side. Disliked things. Saad, you're taking notes, man. What are some of the disliked things? Muhammad.
Placing hands on the waist.
Yeah, like if you place your hands on the waist, we said that's disliked. And if you do it for too long, then your salah is batil. Because you're doing movements that are not part of the salah. Right? Naam. تفضل نعم يوسف. We're going to talk about laughter. Laughter is going to come up today, inshallah. It will ruin your salah if it makes like two sounds. Okay, laughter. What are some of the other things that we said that are disliked? Yeah, like looking around, cracking knuckles. Remember, you know, تشبيك الأصابع. You know, what's this called in English? Crossing your fingers, yeah, okay. Yeah, fidgeting with things, right? Fixing your hair for no reason, like, you know, playing with your hat, your hoodie, your jacket, whatever. But what if someone has a runny nose? What's the point of raising your hand if you're just going to speak? Except they can wipe their nose. Na'am. Yeah, because we talked about, like in the last part, we talked about spitting, right? We talked about somebody needs to spit. We said they can spit, right? They can spit. If they're in the masjid, they don't spit on the floor. If they're in the masjid, they can spit in a mandil. They said a khirqa or a mandil, or the mu'allif said thaw, but he means like a piece of cloth or, you know, your side or whatever. If you're outside the masjid, you spit on your left or under your foot. Tamam. And the same thing, if you have a runny nose, yeah, you can take it high. So this is a haja, right? Na'am, Yusuf. No, I'm asking questions now. You can ask in a bit. Daqiqa. طيب, okay, yalla, ask, yalla. Tfadla. Before we start, tfadla, Yusuf. Tfadla, yalla. Don't be shy. Huh? طيب, خلاص. خلاص, I struck fear in you. طيب, Ayman, yalla, we're going to start now. Yalla, tfadla. Moving before the imam, yes, definitely that would be something. And actually, that would be something if you do it intentionally, that would ruin your salah. Because the imam is there to be followed. And if someone intentionally tries to surpass the imam, then his salah would be batal. طيب. So let's start now. We're in part 5, al-arkan wal-wajibat. We covered the arkan, the wajibat, by the way, when we were describing the salah. But now the mu'allif wants to organize them. And this is extremely important to know. Okay, why is this extremely important to know? Why is it so important to know your arkan and your wajibat? Na'am? Yeah, well, you need to know what you have to redo if you forget, and what you don't have to redo if you forget. Okay? Because we said the difference between a rukun and a wajib, and this is important, shabab. Okay? A rukun, we said, rukun is something that, okay, if you forget it, if you leave it, okay, you have to come up with it again. So one of the arkan is Fatiha. طيب. If you pray right now, okay, and you forget Al-Fatiha, and then you get up the second rak'ah, have you finished a rak'ah? You have not finished a rak'ah, right? طيب, if you forget Fatiha and you go to sujood, okay, before you start your sujood, go back and finish your Fatiha. You have to. A rukun, you have to. So a pillar, you have to make it up. طيب. A wajib, if you forget a wajib, you don't have to make it up. Do you understand? You have to know the difference between them. Right? And you have to know it's a sunnah. طب أنا, I'm praying, shabab, I'm praying. And I forgot to raise my hand. طيب. Do I have to make that up? Hmm? Why? طب, I didn't say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim 3 times. Is my salah okay? I said it once. It's fine? MashaAllah. There's some faqih is there, mashaAllah. طيب, let's start. So, we have 14 arkan. 14 arkan. Some of the madhahib have less. It's not about, usually it's just the way they put them together. Tamam? But they're all coming from the same hadith. Because there's a long hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and he basically told the person exactly how to pray. You know, do your ruku' and then come up back from your ruku' until you're straight. And so they didn't just come up with this by themselves. This is from the hadith. So al-arkan are how many? 14. Arkan are 14. Of the arkan, and al-wajibat will be 8. Okay, 14 and 28 and 8. So that gives us, what's the total? Huh? So these are, what's the total? 22, sah? I'm doubting your math. Type 22. So those are the 22 things we have to do in our salah. Otherwise, we have to do sahu. Okay, and some of them we might have to make them up. And inshallah, maybe in the end, what I'll do is I'll pray a salah with just the arkan and the wajibat to show you what's the minimum. Okay? Yani if someone prayed this minimum, their salah would be fine. Okay? Cool? Bismillah. Let's start. So the first one is al-qiyam. Right? Al-qiyam. What's qiyam? Standing. You have to be standing. Actually, let's read. Bismillah. So faslun yaqul fi arkaniha wa wajibatiha. So he says in its pillars and its wajibat, he says wa jumlatu arkaniha 14. Wa jumlatu arkaniha 14. And the total of its arkan, its pillars, are 14. 14. So he starts al-qiyam wa tahrima. So al-qiyam is standing, right? Standing. So you have to be standing unless you have an excuse. You have to be standing unless you have an excuse. What would be an excuse for not standing? Injure. Uh-huh. Naam? Illness. What if the roof is too low? Yeah. You can't stand. You can't stand. You would hide. Tamam. What if the imam is not standing? The follower stands? No, the follower sits as well. Okay? If the imam, مثلا, he's the only one that can lead, and he's injured, okay? And he has a sickness that inshallah will be cured, okay? And he's sitting praying, then we have to sit with him as well. Tamam, we follow the imam in that case. This is a mas'ala that's mentioned. طيب, let's go now to number two. He says, وَالتَّحْرِيمَ وَالتَّحْرِيمَ يعني تكبيرة الإحرام. تكبيرة الإحرام, نعم تفضل. Now we pray sitting. We pray sitting with him. We'd follow what he's doing. So takbirat al-ihram, is takbirat al-ihram raising the hands and saying Allahu Akbar?
No.
So it's the qawl. So this is an actual, this is a saying. So if someone comes to salah and says, and his hands are down, he says Allahu Akbar, he's entered salah with the niyyah of takbirat al-ihram. Because remember takbirat, you have takbirat al-ihram that enters you into salah, okay? And then you have the other takbirat we mentioned. Going to ruku', coming from ruku', going to sujood. So these are all takbirat. So saying takbirat al-ihram, this is a qawl. So it's important to notice that. Tamam? طيب. So that's number two. الثالث يقول الفاتحة. يا سلام. So الفاتحة is a rukun. Meaning if you forget your fatiha, ya Yusuf, if you forget your fatiha, and you go to sujood, you need to come back up. We're going to talk about that. Okay? If you're in your fourth rak'ah and you remember that you didn't say Fatiha, or you had doubt about your Fatiha, okay, can you say salam? No, you get up and you pray another one. You're going to talk about as-sahu, okay? So if you want to understand sahu very well, which is coming up, you need to master this. The 14 arkan and the 14 and the 8 and the 8 wajibat, obligations. Naam. Did you remember your question? Fadl. Mm-hmm. It's coming up. Doubt is coming up, inshallah. So, Sajdat al-Sahu has all of that. So, the Imam's recitation. Naam, tafadhal.
Regarding the previous question, right? So, there are like two people, like one person is injured. So, is it recommended for a non-injured person?
Yes, if he's qualified to lead.
Okay.
Naam, it's better. It's akmal, yani.
And if the condition for standing, like, let's say my knee is injured, right? So, I can stand, but I cannot sit between the sets. I'll be like kneeling sort of thing. So,
yeah, well, we said that the sitting, even if someone sat like that, and his foot is even forward, that's fine. You're still sitting.
But the imam should do the normal sitting, right? If the imam is sitting like that.
Yeah, you should do the normal sitting, the sunnah sitting. Yeah, inshallah. Taib, so do you remember we said about the imam's recitation, right? So we said that it's enough for him. It's enough for the ma'moom, the follower. So if the imam is leading and you're a follower, his Fatiha is enough for you. Even in the quiet ones, but it's recommended in the quiet ones, you read it yourself as well. Okay? So it says here, the Imam's recitation suffices for the followers, even in silent prayers, but recommended for a follower to recite in silent prayers behind Imam. This is why if a person catches the ruku', I'm in ruku', I'm leading the salah, and then Abdul Hakim comes, he catches the rak'ah. So if he catches the ruku', I'm in ruku', right? You know, people run like, oh Allah, right? And he catches the rak'ah. His rak'ah counted. Okay, but he didn't read Fatiha. Okay? But because the Imam's Fatiha is enough for him. Wadih, everybody? Tayyib. Jameel. Ah, Yusuf. You're only allowed three questions.
No, I remember my question.
Tayyib, yalla. Yeah, something that's recommended. Yeah, something that's recommended. But if someone doesn't do it, it doesn't ruin his salah. طيب. Jameel. So, الرابع, he says, والركوع. Okay? So, I'm standing, that's one. Okay? Allahu Akbar, that's two. Al-Fatiha, that's three. I'm going to ruku' now, four. Okay? I'm going to get up from ruku', then he says, وَالْإِعْتِدَالْ عَنْهُ. وَالْإِعْتِدَالْ عَنْهُ. يعني getting up from ruku', going up from ruku'. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ الْحَمْدَ يعني not saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ الْحَمْدَ, getting up from ruku', okay, and being straight, that's number five, okay, nine more to go. طيب. And then he says وَالسُّجُود. So now I'm going into sujood, okay, that's number six. وَالْإِعْتِدَالْ عَنْهُ, and getting up from sujood. Try to picture what's going on. If you don't know, if you can't picture it, let me know. Going up from sujood and being straight. Tamam. And now the sitting, okay, wal julus bayna sajdatayn, and sitting between the two sujood, right? So you do, you go to sujood, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, right? Then you come sitting down. That jalsa is also a rukun. Okay? So if someone forgot it, they have to come up with it. Okay? So wal julus bayna sajdatayn, that gives us number 8. Number 9, at-tuma'nina. At-tuma'nina. Ishi at-tuma'nina? Yeah, because at-tuma'nina is that you're basically, the ulama have different ways to measure it, but really that you're still, right? You're not like, you know, just moving without your muscles relaxing. So staying still after every action of the salah till all joints come to rest. Tamam? We have the hadith of the hypocrite when he prays, right? You know, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, you know, when the sun is setting, the munafiq, he gets up and he prays like a chicken, basically. Yeah, really fast. Okay. And so there's no tuma'nina there. Okay. And so you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're supposed to be relaxing in the salah. Okay. So you want to be able to get to every position. Okay. And have the tuma'nina, that relaxation. So someone shouldn't be in sujood and then up and then down again. And you see that, especially kids. When we were young, we would do that. It's like you're just going like a, you know, like it's a race. Now you've and the tuma'nina has to be in everything you do. And so if you don't have this tuma'nina, then your salah is batil. Yeah, and if you don't, how do you make that up? That's the problem. How do you make up tuma'nina? And if you realize that you prayed the first one too fast, what should you do? You should redo that first one. Any time in that one, you should redo that first one. If you felt like you didn't have tuma'nina. Tayyib. Jameel. So quickly before we go to the 10th one, let's count them together. Al-Qiyam, standing is one. Takbir al-Ihram, Allahu Akbar, 2. Al-Fatiha, 3. Ruku' 4. Getting up from ruku', 5. Sujood, 6. Getting up from sujood, 7. Sitting between two sujoods, 8. And at-tuma'nina, okay, having, I guess, tranquility, okay, is 9. طيب, 10, okay, and he says, وَالتَّشَهُدِ الْأَخِيرِ التَّشَهُدِ الْأَخِيرِ يعني the تَشَهُدِ in the last rak'ah. وَالتَّشَهُدِ الْأَخِيرِ, okay, that is also a rukun. وَجَلْسَتُهُ, so the last tashahud, and sitting for the last tashahud. So the tashahud itself, التحياتُ لله until the end, and جلستُه, that would be 11. وَالصَّلَاتُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, okay, sending salam upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, okay, وَالتَّسْلِيمَتَان, okay, salam on the Prophet, both taslims, and what's the last one? Anybody know? What's the last one? This is the taslim, number 13. We're missing one. Can I say Allahu Akbar and then read al-Fatiha and then go to sujood and then go, yeah, ahsant, al-tartib. Yeah, you have to have tartib. Okay, so al-tuma'nina wa al-tartib, people forget these. Al-tuma'nina is that your joints are stable, okay, and al-tartib, sequence of the prayer, okay. If you guys want me to go to the previous slide, if you want to take a picture. So these are the first 7, okay? And then, so this is the first 7. And then the second 7 are these. Tamam? So these are the arkan, 14 of them. 14. How are you going to remember 14, yeah, Yusuf? Huh? How do you know it's 14? Think of something special that's 14. Huh? You want to see the picture again? I'll charge you next time. This one's free. Tamam? طيب. جميل. طيب, let's go to the wajibat. So, remember, this the 14 we just mentioned, you have to do them in your salah. You have to. There's no choice. If you forget them, you have to make them up. طيب, the wajibat, the obligations, these ones, if you forget them, okay, if you forget them and like you're still haven't gone to the next one, you go back and do it, okay? If you forget it and then you go to the next thing, you don't have to make it up, but you still have to do sahu. We're going to talk about as-sahu, the sajd as-sahu. طيب. So the wajibat, aka, also known as the obligations, 8 of them. تفضل. If you're traveling, how? We talked about the plane issue. We said that the plane, a group of the ulama said it's a rukun, it's a rukun. Like the plane, they don't see it as an excuse. others, they said, well, okay, well, there's two issues. Sometimes it's too short. You can't stand properly. Okay. And also there's, I guess there's no khushu' if someone stands in front of people, etc. And if it's difficult to pray in the, well, technically you shouldn't pray in the entrance. Remember we said it's not, you shouldn't pray in pathways or the exit. That they wouldn't allow you aslan to do that. And so then you would be forced, that some ulama saw that as an excuse to not do qiyam. As an excuse for not to do qiyam. Wallahu alam, wallahu alam. And I personally, I don't stand when I'm praying. It's just too difficult with the khushu'. I mean, if it's dark and everyone's sleeping, maybe you could get away with it. You know, if you can focus with it. Well, awla if you can pray before you leave or after high. But if you have a long trip, then yani it's difficult. Now. Okay. Is it an excuse? If it's harmful to pray outside, yes. يعني أنت هلا you're in a car, you're driving from I don't know some long drive, and you got stuck, okay? ما في مسجد. If you go pray outside and you think it's dangerous, then what other choice do you have? يعني dangerous for two reasons. If you're stuck in the middle of the road, يعني it's a slippery, cars come by. Yani your life could be at risk, then you would just pray behind your car. I guess that would be it. But then what if it's too cold? If it's not too cold, I've prayed in the winter before. Carpet, yani you keep your salah short before. Like one time I was going to pray jama'ah. I forgot about the salah and the time was about to run out. Listen guys, and I went to a masjid and it was locked here in Calgary and it was like minus 10 or something. And I had to pray, so I just prayed next to the masjid outside. It was cold, so I just did my arkan wajibat, you know, and I prayed my salah and yeah. But you could if you thought it was too cold, minus 40, minus 30, and you're in, and you think it's harmful, then inshallah there'd be an excuse. Yani that muttar, naam, tafadhal.
Non-Muslim country, and you know, regardless of your intention, it always feels a little awkward because people are watching.
Mm-hmm.
There was also that incident a couple of years ago with that brother who got kicked out while he was praying at the BRL station in Ottawa, right? So how liberal is it, like the interpretation of khushu impacting your prayer?
I think it's a, yani there's a gray area and there's a red line. Like there's a difference between khushu and khajal, yani. فالخجل is like you're embarrassed, you know, and so the person has to figure out am I scared of people, like embarrassed of people, or am I really scared for my khushu', you know. It's a bit of a grayish area, so you really have to ask yourself the question. If you're in that situation, طبعا you should have figured it out before. Number one. Number two, okay, is you would ask someone, there is there a prayer space? Like usually there is a prayer space. Usually the airports are huge. They have like a lot of dead areas. You can go and pray in the corner. But khushu' is important. Like you shouldn't pray in the path of someone. You shouldn't pray where there's just people walking around in front of you, مثلاً. You should always find a place, يعني. Wherever you are, that's the general thing. يعني if you're in the TELUS Science Center, you go up somewhere quiet and you pray. If you're in wherever, in the zoo, you know, don't pray next to the alligators or something. pray somewhere quiet where there's not many people walking on the side. There's always usually a place that's high. That's
Nah. I get it, and I understand, but like in that scenario, I think I prayed like in one of the, like sitting down in one of the seats, like discreetly. Is that all right?
That's the thing, because that one, a lot of the ulama would not see that as an excuse. Because you didn't, remember even with the Qibla, remember we said, if you didn't take your due diligence, if you didn't do your due diligence, and you're like, you know what, I'm not going to bother, and I'm just going to pray this way, even if you are right, they said your salah is not you've missed one of the shurut, because you didn't do your due diligence. But did you do your due diligence? And they said, no prayer here. But then, okay, then it's understandable. Go do that. You know what I mean? So we have an excuse in front of Allah. That's the فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. That's the general rule. You know, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. Fadl Abdul Hakim. Last question, we'll go to our obligations. We got sahu to do. Yeah, that's what we were saying last time. It's because the imam was put there for you to follow him. Tamam? And so it wouldn't make sense. I know some of the ulama, and we respect that opinion, that they said you try to get it in, or you repeat after them, or the imam needs to like give you like a 20 seconds so you can do like a roadrunner or fatiha, you know. But it's just, Allahu alam, it doesn't seem something that the sharia would want you to. The whole point of the Quran is you read it and you understand it. It's not something to just repeat for no reason. So it would make sense. And if the imam suffices, khalas, yakfiq. That the imam suffices you. In the quiet ones, you should do it. Because what else are you going to do? He's going to sit there and when he's quiet in the third zakah, you do your fatiha. Yeah. But if you didn't, you'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying reading out loud is sunnah. طيب. والفاتحة. نعم. The reading out loud is sunnah for the imam or the single person. Right? And reading the fatiha is rukun for the imam and the single, not the follower. That's what the whole point is here. It should be fine, yeah. But you should do it. Because what are you going to do? You're going to stand there? You should do it, yani. I think it just, even logically, it would make sense. Logically, it would make sense. The imam is reading fatiha. You should follow his fatiha, right? and when he's not reading fatiha, you read your own fatiha. I think it logically makes sense. I think so, yani. Allah alam. طيب, let's go to the wajibat. 8 of them. Bismillah. 8. ثمانية أزواج. طيب. So all of the takbirs other than the, let's read what the مؤلف says. والتكبير طيب وواجباتها ثمانية. And its واجبات, its obligations are 8. نعم. جميل. So first one he says والتكبير غير التحريم. Okay. The takbirat other than the تحريم. Okay. So the takbir الإحرام is the one you enter salah with. All the other takbirat are what? Are wajib. This happens a lot. You be in salah, and you go to sujood without saying takbir. Like, did I say takbir? So you just missed the wajib there. Okay? طيب. Do you have to make it up? If you kind of remembered at the spot, you say the takbir. If you didn't, you would have to pray sahu. You don't have to make it up. That's the important thing about knowing the difference between arkan and wajibat. So all the takbirs, other than the takbir al-ihram, they mention an exception. If he's catching the prayer late, then the takbir al-ihram is what he will say, and the next one will be sunnah to catch the position of the imam. Does that make sense? Yani you come and the imam's in ruku'. Okay? If you want to enter salah, you can say Allahu Akbar with the intention of takbir al-ihram, and you go to sujood. You don't have to say the second takbirah. Because sometimes people will come, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. It's fine. You can say Allahu Akbar and go straight to ruku', and the second one would be recommended. But that takbirah would be fine. This is the exception that they're mentioning here. Does that make sense? واضح؟ نعم يا أيمن. Can you use snow? If you can melt it, yeah. Because then you're like wiping. It's supposed to be, remember we said in Tahara, like it should be running, it should flow through you. Because then you're just like wiping. I'm not sure. مَا رَأَيْكُمْ. I've heard this question before and they said no. It has to be like, you have to melt it somehow. أصلاً, يعني, I don't know how you would do it. Can you use snow? I don't know. would be even dangerous, wallah, depending on how cold it is. طيب, let's continue. So takbir al-ihram. Number two. والتسميع. What's تسميع? التسميع. سمع الله. التسميع. It's called التسميع. سمع الله. يعني saying سمع الله لمن حمده. So saying سمع الله لمن حمده is a wajib. Okay? For who? For the imam and the individual, right? The follower does not say it, okay? So انت هلا when you pray, if we pray Isha and you're behind me, you don't have to say سمع الله محمد, okay? What if you say it? Huh? No, what if you say سمع الله محمد? It's a good question. What if you say سمع الله, the follower says سمع الله لمن حمد? I mean, he can't pray سهو for himself. That's a good question. Does it ruin his salah? Wallahu alam, no. Yeah? Yeah, hada lil haja. So he's saying sometimes the imam says sami Allahu min hamida. Like the haram. They do that in the haram, right? He says sami Allah, and so everybody hears, right? Back in the day they would do that every like 50 lines if there's a huge jama'ah. Someone will repeat it للحاجة يعني for the need. Now, good question. طيب. So what تسميع is number two. What تحميد? What's تحميد? ربنا لك الحمد. Okay. Now you learned التسميع والتحميد وتسبيح ركوع وسجود. Okay. So saying سبحان ربي العظيم in the ركوع وسبحان ربي الأعلى once. Okay. تمام. Once is enough. So if someone said it once, that suffices. Okay. So we're at five now. We need three more. طيب. وَقَوْلُ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي. Saying رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي in the sitting down between the two sujoods. Okay? Saying رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي in the حَبَّلِ مَذْهَبْ. This is a wajib. And then he says, وَالتَّشَهُدِ الْأَوَّلِ. وَالتَّشَهُدِ الْأَوَّلِ. The first tashahud is wajib. وَجَلْسَتُهُ. Okay? So now in Maghrib, we sat down. That tashahud and it's sitting, it's wajib. So if someone, مثلاً, prayed Maghrib without sitting, he missed what? He missed two wajibs. He missed what? Two wajibs. Okay? So if he remembered in the end, he would just do sahu for that. Okay? He doesn't have to make that up. Do you understand the importance of knowing the difference? Tamam? The first tashahud and the sitting, okay? Yeah. And then he mentions here the mu'allif, okay? وما عدا ذلك okay والشروط سنة so the arkan anything other than we covered the 14 arkan the pillars the 8 wajibat okay and we covered the shurut before the 6 shurut right so 6 shurut this is before we said tahara niyya دخول الوقت covering the awra having no najasat and qibla naam wal qibla so those things 6 and the arkan 14 and 8 wajibat everything else is what sunnah that's what he's saying wa ma ada dhalik wal shurut yani ma ada dhalik from arkan al wajibat wal shurut sunnah everything else is sunnah everything you can think of is sunnah the ad'iya the you know saying subhanallah subhanallah al-azim more times حَنْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا All these are sunan, right? Raising the hand, etc. Those are all sunan. So, then he says, فَالرُّكْنُ وَالشَّرْطُ لا يسقطان سهوا. So الشرط, the six things before salah and الركن, they don't you cannot leave them if you forget them. If you forget them, you cannot leave them. If you forget the qibla, yeah, your salah doesn't count. If you forget, and he's saying, لا يسقطان سهوا, يعني our forgetfulness. So the awra doesn't, if you get up and pray with your awra exposed, out of forgetfulness, your salah doesn't count, okay? So the arkan and the shurut, the 6 and the 14, those ones you have to come up with them. They're not neglected or left out of forgetfulness or ignorance. Sahwan wa jahlan, out of forgetfulness or ignorance. This is important to know. Do I have this in my notes? Yeah. So whatever is not listed under the arkan, shurut and wajibat are considered sunnah. Rukun and shurut cannot be dropped even out of forgetfulness or ignorance. Rukun and shart cannot be dropped even out of forgetfulness or ignorance. Someone is ignorant of it. Well, it's wajib for you to know that. Until you've reached the age of knowing the salah, it's wajib for you. He says, وَيَسْخُطُ الْوَاجِبْ بِهِمَا بِهِمَا يعني بِالسَّهُ وَالْجَهَلْ. يعني الواجب, it can be dropped, overlooked, if you forget or out of ignorance. Is it واضح? Now you understand the difference? نعم, تفضل. No, you can't just leave the salah like that. You can't. Yeah, it's not like an on and off thing. So if you're in the salah, like, and you remembered, you do it. That's why we're going to learn now. Now we're going to learn sahu. The whole part on sahu is going to show you what you do. What if I'm about to get up and I remembered? What if? So we're going to talk about that now. Okay, but you can't just be like, "Khalas, you know what? Like, I really messed it up." Unless you're like, I don't know, like, what's a reason to leave salah? We said reasons to leave salah. Did we discuss this? I don't think we discussed this. But reasons to leave salah, like an emergency or your life's in danger, or but you can't just leave them for no reason. إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ نَافِلَ. Only if it's a nafila salah. There's a hadith where what's his name? About the person whose mom called. And he didn't respond to her. And the ulama, they use the dalil to show you the difference between a abid and a alim. A abid as a worshipper and a alim as someone who has knowledge. Because what happened is that it mentions that his mom called him and she really needed him. And he was praying nafil. Anyone heard this before? He was praying nafil. His mom was really upset. And she made dua against him. Right? And then something about a prostitute, something about that, and then it happened to him. And they tell you this is the, had he known that the nafila, you can break it, okay? It's a voluntary prayer, you can break it, and listening to your mom is a wajib, right? So this is the power of knowledge. Now, so we said, so let me just quickly review. So here, so al shurut, conditions before the salah, okay, and the arkan, the 14 in the salah, the 14 pillars. Those ones cannot be overlooked. If you forget them, you have to come up with them. The wajibat, okay, so the first, the shurut and the arkan, the 6 and the 14, okay, those cannot be overlooked for forgetfulness or ignorance. The 8 wajibat, okay, they can for forgetfulness or ignorance, but you have to pray zahu if you remember them. Tamam? Cool. If someone wants to yawn, let's keep that communicating. This is mentioned in the footnotes that in salah you shouldn't be communicating, no sign language. You know, the only thing that you can do is what, which comes from the sunnah. If someone tries to, طبعًا the clapping, we said that. I mean, yeah, that's a type of communication. Also, if someone tries to cross you, yeah, you can put your hand and stop them. Right. SubhanAllah, I didn't know about this hadith back maybe 15 years ago, 20, and I was in Akram Jum'ah when they just bought it, and I walked in front of someone and he stopped me, and I tried to walk again, tried to stop me, and like I felt like it was going to hit me, So I just like walked around. Then I read the hadith. You guys know the hadith? It says, if he doesn't want to stop, he's a shaitan. I was like, subhanAllah. Astaghfirullah. Tayyib. And then the sutra. Taban, the sutra, what's a sutra? Sutra is something that is recommended to have in front of the imam or the individual. The imam or individual. Something that is there should be any, some mention like measurements. Yani, there's no real evidence about measurements, but it should be something that's there in front of you. Okay? Does it have to be a specific size? No. But if it's the imam has one, yani the imam has the whole wall there, so everybody's fine. If someone walks there, it's fine. For an individual, people ask, what's a sutra? Like, what? How far can you walk? Because some people, yani, was it you, Muhammad, that asked me? Yeah, you asked me. If someone's praying here, the whole front is a sutra? No. It's just enough for him to pray. Yani, from blue line to blue line, مثلا, you can walk in front of him. That should be fine, inshallah. Yani, the length of his sajda, that should be fine. Wallahu ta'alam. Otherwise, you'll never be able to leave the masjid. You know, like in Riyadh, where I was, even most of the places in Saudi Arabia, Mathan, I don't know, other masajid, they have a pathway and they leave the sides open. So in big masajid, if you're done, you don't have to wait for everybody in the back to finish. You can kind of walk around. But some of the old masajid, okay, like in the kind of older neighborhoods, there's no pathway. So everybody has to wait for the guys who came late and they're praying there, you know. So you have to wait for them and everyone's standing. And it happens in Jum'ah sometimes. طيب صلاة السهو بسم الله. Oh my God, it took us a while to get there now. لا, if he's a ma'moom, yes, it should be fine. الماموم now that he's completing his salah. Good question. What do you guys think? The imam was praying. Someone came for the last rak'ah. The imam said salam. The guy got up to finish. What's his sutra now? The imam? Wallahu alam, it doesn't look like it's the imam. Because the imam's going to leave. خلاص. If he got something, leave. Yeah, he has his sutra is his own sutra now. Wallahu alam. So his sutra was with the imam. Yeah, he prayed jama'ah, but the imam left now. The ma'mumin are also there? But the imam is going to salam and leave. So what's his sutra now? Wallahu alam, it looks like it's his own. I need to confirm it, but it looks like it's his own. Wallahu alam. طيب, salat is, so the next part is sajd al-sahu, okay? Or sujood al-sahu. Sujood is sujood, right? Sujood. So sujood al-sahu, what's sahu? Okay? We have in Surah Al-Ma'un, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ, right? And actually they talk about السَّهُ فِي وَالسَّهُ عَنْ. They say السَّهُ عَنْ شَيْء, عَنْ something, is what's مَذْمُوم, what's bad. Okay? So السَّهُ عَنْ الصَّلَاةِ مثلا. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. So السَّهُ عَنْ something, the people who are like negligent of the salah, knowingly, you're knowingly negligent. Yeah, and you're knowingly watching the football game, and you know salah, and you're like, this is sahun. الَّذِينَ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ sahun. So this is waylun for them. So this is very dangerous for someone to do that. فَوَيْلُ الْمُصَلِينَ الَّذِينَ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ sahun. Right? But السَّهُ here, السَّهُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, يعني, is to pray, basically, is to do these sajdatain, okay, if you forget. طيب, if you forget or what, three things. So let's start. Bismillah. When is it done? It is allowed. Let's read what the Mu'allif says. Bismillah. So he says, فَصْلٌ فِي سُجُودِ السَّهُ. Okay. يُشْرَعُ. يعني it's done in the Sharia. Okay. It's permitted in the Sharia. يُشْرَعُ سُجُودُ السَّهُوِ لِزِيَادَةٍ, number one, وَنَقْصٍ وَشَكٍ. خلاص. So it's allowed in the following situations. زِيَادَة. You increase something in salah. You're praying Maghrib and you end up doing Maghrib 4. So this is ziyada. So you have to do sajdat sahu. Okay? طيب. Decreasing salah. Okay? You prayed Isha as 3. So now you've decreased. Okay? So you have to do sahu. طيب. But I'm going to explain something so you don't get confused. And then a shak. You're doubtful. This happens all the time. You're in your third rak'ah? Well, you don't know. You just got up and you're like, oh, am I in my third or fourth? Third or fourth? You're not sure. Okay? And so here you have shak. We're going to talk about shak in the end. But shak, you have to go with the least. Why? Because if you're doubtful, if it's three or four, which one is certain? Three is certain. Four is doubtful. So you go with the three and then you're out of high. It could have been the fifth one now for Isha, مثلاً. But that's, yani, that's not your responsibility. And then you pray sahu. Okay? Degrees against Salah. What about it? So, yeah, so in the decrease of Salah, what's the example of decrease in Salah? Is that, مثلاً, the shak is different than decrease. Decrease is like, مثلاً, أنت, you said taslim, and then the brothers behind like, yeah, Sheikh, you just prayed three in Dhuhr. Okay? And we're going to talk about, in that case, you will do your taslim after. That's naqs. What else could be naqs? يعني, you're in your tashahud, and you're like, oh my God, I definitely, 100% sure, prayed three for Isha. So now you would get up and pray another one, and then you would do sahu. Make sense, everyone? Okay, so that's naqs. Jimmy. But now you have to be careful. Am I doing ziyada? Am I increasing something out of the wajibat? Okay? Or am I increasing something or decreasing something from the arkan? It makes a difference, right? Why? Because for both of them, you will do sahu. But for the arkan, you'll make them up. Does that make sense? For both of them, you will do sahu. For the 14 arkan and for the wajibat. But for the arkan, the 14, you're going to have to make up that action. You're going to make up fatiha. Okay? You're going to have to make up the ruku', but you'll do sahu for forgetfulness. This is like one of the chapters where it needs focus. Like the sahu, you need focus. And you need to know this by yourself and also if you're leading the salah. And you have to know this. طيب. Mm-hmm. لا الوسوسة في الوضوء that's different. وسوسة الشيطان yeah يعني وسوسة الشيطان وسلس البول and all those things وسلس الريح and the وسوسة and woman يعني she has وسوسة did I leak or did I not yeah those are things if you feel like it's وسوسة from the شيطان okay then you do your wudu and you pray okay صلاة yeah if you have وسوسة in صلاة وسوسة in صلاة you know then it really depends on case by case. I know what you're talking about, okay? If somebody's like always having whispers that I didn't pray enough, or I always missed one, okay? Then if you figure out that that's a waswasa, then you should just spit three times, dry spit on the left, and just pray, and keep going with his salah. طيب. So he says here, لا في عمد. Okay, so this is important. العمد is intentional. So, if someone says, I'm not going to read Fatiha intentionally, what happens to the Salah? Khalas, his Salah doesn't count. Right? And he's sinful for that. So, لا عمد, you don't pray Sahu for it. Khalas, your Salah batalat. Okay? Because there's no reason why you would do that. Why would you do that? Yani that's like a really, yani, I don't know, what's the reason for that? طيب. So, it is not allowed if an increase or decrease is done on purpose. Yeah, so عمدن, لا في عمدن. He says, وهو واجب. So, the ahkam, the rulings of sahu are three in with the Hanabila. You have wajib, you have sunnah, and you have mandub or mubah. Wajib, okay, something is sunnah, and something is mubah. Okay, we have 13 till adhan? Yeah. 13, right? 13, yeah. So wajib, sunnah, mubah. So rulings are wajib, sunnah, and mubah. We said wajib, you have to do it. If you don't do it, you're sinful. Tamam. Sunnah is something that's recommended. And mubah is something that is okay. Tamam? Sunnah, you get extra reward for it. طيب. And so the Hanabi, they say, when is it wajib? We said, في النقص, okay? So, يقول هنا, وهو واجب لما تبطل بتعمده. You know, sometimes the Arabic, you have to really... So, he says, it's wajib for that which تبطل بتعمده. يعني, remember we said that arkan and wajibat, if you intentionally leave them, salah tabtul. So any of those, if they're left out, it's wajib. Basically, he's saying the arkan and the wajibat. So it's wajib for the 14 arkan and the 8 wajibat. It's wajib to do sajdat sahu for the 14 arkan and for the 8 and for the 8 wajibat. Okay, that's what he means. But wahu wajibun lima tabtulu bita'ammudihi, because it's those 14 and 8 that a salah tabtul if you do it if you leave them intentionally. He says wasunnatun. So let's cover the wajib. If left out, out one of the wajibat of prayer due to forgetfulness or ignorance, okay? If done on purpose, we said it will invalidate. Sah? If done on purpose, it will invalidate. If added or left out a rukun out of forgetfulness or ignorance. So we said prayer invalid if done on purpose. We've already covered that. If done out of forgetfulness, then you must return back. Do it with sujood as-sahw. So I started my salah, and I forgot to read Fatiha. I just started. Wal asr inna salif khusr. Okay? And I went down, okay? And I'm now in my first tashahud. And then, oh my God, somehow you remembered. Oh, I didn't read my Fatiha. So you have to go, now the whole first rak'ah didn't count. So you have to come up with a whole other rak'ah. Then you finish your salah, then you're going to do sahu, okay? And tasleep. Tamam? طيب. And then he says, someone who has doubt in his salah, okay, it's wajib for him. So if you add something or you leave something or you have doubt in something, that is wajib. That's the default. Those are the most important ones. It's wajib. You have to do sajdat sahu. طيب, when is it sunnah? They say it's sunnah when you say something that is part of the salah in the wrong time or in the wrong place. يعني, you're standing and you say Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. Okay? Or you're like, you read Fatiha in your sujood. Something like that, okay? Or you're like, you know, you go down to ruku' Sami Allah li Muhammad. Something like that. Okay, I don't know if it ever happened to anybody like that. So he says here, وَسُنَّةٌ لِإِتْيَانٍ بِقَوْلٍ مَشْرُوعٍ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ سَهْوًا. Not عَمْدًا, سَهْوًا, obviously, out of forgetfulness. You know, you're like, you know. Actually, this happens. You know, sometimes, it happened to me before, يعني. You're coming from ruku' and you say, Allahu Akbar. Ever happened to anybody? Yeah, so you're coming from ruku', you're supposed to say what? At-tasmi' sami' Allah al-hamida. So you come up, you're like, Allahu Akbar. So here it's sunnah, okay, too. But obviously you have to say sami' Allah al-hamida. Sah? You have to come up with the order. Now you've missed the wajib. Okay, so you're coming from ruku', you say Allahu Akbar by mistake. Oh, sami' Allah liman hamida. Okay, now you do sahu. It's sunnah to do sahu here. It's sunnah to do sahu. If you don't do sahu here, no problem. You're not sinful for that. If a particular dhikr or salah of salah said in the wrong place out of forgetfulness, okay, you recite Fatiha and Tashahud, for example. If done on purpose, now they say here if it's done on purpose, it doesn't invalidate the salah. I'm not sure what the dalil for that is, but yani, so if you purposely say Subhan Rabbil Azim, yani, because they say this is part of salah anyways. The qa'ida for the Hanabila is, any kalam outside the salah ruins the salah. But they say, if you say Subhan Rabbil Azim, technically it's a dhikr from salah, so it doesn't invalidate your salah. But you shouldn't do it. You should do sahu for it. Okay? طيب. Cool. And the third hukum, we said, it's permissible. يقول هنا ومباح لترك سنة. طيب, you're used to doing these sunnah. For example, what's the sunnah? Let's mention a sunnah. What's the sunnah? Yeah, saying Subhan Rabbil Azim 3 times. طيب, you're used to doing that. They say for something you're used to doing. And you forgot it this time. Okay? Or, you know, raising your hand, right? Is that a wajib? Is it a wajib or a rukun? It's not, right? No, we said the saying of Allahu Akbar is wajib. Takbir al-Ihram, saying Takbir al-Ihram is rukun. طيب, raising the hand, it's sunnah. So if you're used to doing it and you forget it, it's okay to pray sahur for that. It's okay to pray sahur for that. But if you forgot to raise your hand, okay, right, it's okay. You don't have to do sahur. It's permissible to do it, okay? طيب, جميل. نعم, تفضل. if the imam does sajda sahu. No. We follow him. We're gonna. I don't know if I mentioned it. Yeah. But no, they have an exception here, which is tricky. Even the author says, like, he's questioning it because there's a. They say if an imam, right? If imam, we're gonna talk about. It's gonna come up. It's something to do with going back. When do you go back? Like, are you allowed to go back? And if the imam is stubborn and doesn't go back, so some of the Hanabi, they said, then he goes and breaks from him, okay? Because the imam is not doing the salah properly. We're going to talk about it, inshallah. We're going to talk about it. But question, and this is one time we were praying in Masjid Salam a few years back, and I think it was Arif who was leading the salah, and we're praying Taraweeh, right? And I think he prayed a third one or something like that. He prayed like a third one. And then he didn't pray, he says Taslim. And then somebody in the back said, "Hey, Sheikh, you did pray three, and then Subhanallah, and then it was just a big confusion. Are we allowed to do sahu is done before salam or after salam? So what do you guys think? Is a sahu sajdat al-sahu? Yani sajdatain al-sahu. Do we do them before we do salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum? Yani you're in salah and you remembered, okay? And you remembered that you forgot a wajib. Taib. You're about to do taslim." Do you do your two sajda sahu, then taslim? Or do you taslim and then sajda sahu? Huh? What do you say? Huh? Hmm? Taslim first. Okay, taslim first. Naam? So, look, the Hanabila say it's flexible. Both are fine. They say the only situation where it's recommended to do it after taslim is... if you come with something, if you finish short, yani you pray Maghrib 2 and you did Taslim. Why? Because we have a hadith. I think hadith Dhul Yadayn. Specifically, that's what happened. And they told the Prophet, yani, O Prophet of Allah, you missed a rak'ah, I think, or two rak'ahs. And so he got up with them, they got up with him, and then he did Taslim and then Sajdatain after Taslim. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Naam. He continued the salah, right? And so, مثلا, he prayed dhuhr too. Okay? So, the imam, if he did taslim, and everybody's like, Subhanallah, Shaykh, you only prayed two. So, the imam would get up, he would pray the two, taslim, and then sajdatain sahu. Okay? That's the only one they say that you should follow the Prophet ﷺ because he did that. Other than that, they say that it's flexible. It's flexible. Tamam, now. He would just say Allahu Akbar, get up and say Allahu Akbar. And that's what happened in the hadith. If you read the hadith, maybe I should have brought it with me. You just get up and you do it. Now we're going to talk about how long are you allowed to like wait. What if you're like, you're on deer foot and you're like, oh my God, does it break the salah? We'll talk about it, inshallah. طيب, how's it done? يقول هنا, okay, بسم الله, سجد السهو. طيب, ومحله قبل السلام ندبا. ندبا يعني مندوب, يعني it's okay, يعني to do it قبل السلام ندبا إلا, okay, إذا سلم عن نقص, like I mentioned, if he says salam from something he missed, okay, عن نقص ركعة فأكثر فبعده ندبا. So even that, it's ندب, يعني it's not like something that you have to do. So you can do it before or after. But the only time that they recommend doing it after is the same incident that happened with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yeah, li hadithi dhil yadayni al-mashhur, as he mentions here. So, cool. So recommend to do it before the taslim in all cases, but allowed after it as well, but must repeat the tashahud in that case. Okay, what's he saying here? But allowed to do it after, but must repeat the tashahud in that case. Yeah, so after the salah, if you're making up something, you do the tashahud, then you do the taslim. So exception, it is recommended to do it after if ended the prayer before completing it, as we mentioned, yani there's naqs, because in this case has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is this case here. So he says, if he ended the prayer before its completion, then it's recommended to do sujood sahu after taslim. And he gives an example here. You pray two rak'ah instead of four, or left out a rukun and realized after completion. So let's say you prayed two instead of four, or you left out Fatiha, مثلاً, a rukun after completion. In this case, he completes the missed part of the prayer. He does taslim. طبعاً, if you forgot مثلاً, Fatiha, you got up, the whole rak'ah is gone. So you have to make up a whole rak'ah. So you just not, it's not like you just like, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you just say Fatiha and then you go straight and do sahu. No, you do the whole rak'ah because you missed the rukun of the whole rak'ah. So does sujud sahu, then does tashahud again, okay, and then ends the prayer. If done on purpose, it invalidates the prayer, right? We said if you intentionally pray two instead of four, then it invalidates the prayer. Now, if you forgot your ruku', you do the whole rak'ah again, because the whole rak'ah doesn't count. When I say rak'ah, I mean the whole unit. Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. So any rukun that's missed in a rak'ah, in a one unit, you have to redo the whole rak'ah. Wadih? If you forgot a sujood in a whole unit, you redo it. Okay? The whole unit. Al-wajibat, no. Remember wajibat we said? We're going to say, if he's gone to the next wajib, then sahu is enough. That's the important thing about knowing the rukun and the wajib, right? Tayyib. Let me just finish. So it says, if done out of forgetfulness, okay? Tayyib. If done out of forgetfulness... 36. Do you guys have it in you to go another 10 minutes or should we stop? Huh? To go another, okay. With the Shabab. The older guys are like, khalas, if the young one said it, we cannot look bad in front of them. طيب, let's do it. So he says here, وَإِن سَلَّمَ قَبْلَ إِتْمَامِهَا عَمْدًا بَطَلَتْ. We said that. If he says taslim before it finishes, عَمْدًا, unintentionally. So like he's praying a short, he prayed two instead of four. Okay, and he didn't get up, you know, عمدًا, يعني he does taslim, and he doesn't make it up عمدًا, then the salah is gone. وَسَهْوًا, okay, فَإِنْ ذَكَرَ قَرِيبًا أَتَمَّهَا وَإِنْ أَحْدًا. Okay, so now he's talking about, if you remembered it قَرِيبًا, so let's say now let's give an example. I think I have an example here. So, okay, so if done out of forgetfulness, if a short amount of time passes according to عُرْف, عرف يعني the what's known to be short time, يعني what's known to be short time amongst people. So now مثلا if you forget something it's just like 10 seconds, half a minute, I think it's understood that that's a short time. But if مثلا he starts chatting and he checks his phone, that would be too long, right? So if a short amount of time passes according to عرف, يعني to the customs of community, then he completes the prayer, okay, plus sujood sahu in a manner discussed above. If a long time passes by according to urf of community, then he must redo the prayer without sujood as-sahu. So here we're talking about, yani if he ends the salah, okay, if he ends the salah and he's missing something, we said he gets up, he remembers he gets up. But if time passes, he's going to redo the whole salah. Yani until you went home or you prayed dhuhr and now you're like... you're sitting with your wife having a tea and you're like, oh my God, 100% I did not pray four for dhuhr. Okay? Khalas, now go pray your dhuhr again. Because you remember you missed a rukun. But let's say you're like, oh my God, 100% I didn't, what's a wajib? I didn't say Subhan Rabbil Azim three times. Okay? I didn't say that once, مثلاً. Okay? Then your salah is fine. Okay, you forgot the sahu. يعني, is there a sahu for forgetting sahu? it doesn't exist, right? يعني معفو عنه, inshallah. طيب. جميل. What invalidates the prayer? So, he mentions here. Okay. Let me read this one here. Yeah. فإن ذكر قريبا أتمها وإن أحدث okay أو قهقها بطلت كفعلهما في صلبها. So now he starts talking about if he does these things like blows out air, okay, or he starts crying, not out of fear of Allah, for something else. He starts crying about a movie he just watched or somebody died in his family or I don't know, he's just being emotional, okay, or it's just starts making sound like like just sounds for no reason, okay, and he says, and he does يعني two sounds, okay. He says, وَإِن نَفَخَ أو انتحب يعني starts crying لا من خشية الله أو تنحنح sorry that's the one that's crying انتحب يعني starts making sound بلا حاجة فبان حرفان then two يعني two letters are made two sounds are made without an excuse then بطلت الصلاة is gone so مثلا someone has a يعني I do it a lot because I have a bad throat there's an excuse to clear your throat or something that's fine you have an excuse so remember if you have an excuse then it's fine even if it's more than two it's a sound يعني it's a whole sound but if you don't have an excuse and it's less than two sounds يعني two حرفان يعني two letters then it's still fine but if you don't have an excuse and you make some loud sounds for no reason and you start crying for not for out of fear of Allah crying out of fear of Allah is fine and someone starts crying in the salah no problem but if someone's just crying like someone passed away or he's just sad or he's thinking about something sad okay I failed my test or I didn't get a job okay then that would break his salah and he starts crying and oh my god he would break his salah or he starts starts making sounds you can do qiyas on all of them analogy on all of them then that would break his salah I think did you ask a question Ayman about that about making sounds I think somebody asked a question نعم so clearing your throat coughing for no reason طيب طيب and then he says جميل yeah ومن ترك ركنا غير التحريم فذكره بعد شروعه this is the most important part because now we're going to talk about how do you deal with it during salah so he says ومن ترك ركنا غير التحريم if he leaves a rukn from the 14 other than the تحريم why he says other than the تحريم why other than تحريم because أصلا if you didn't say تحريم you hadn't started the salah you didn't even start salah yet okay يعني if you haven't said الله أكبر التحريم تكبيرة الإحرام did you start salah yet يا يوسف if you didn't say الله أكبر did you start salah yet if you just go in and say الحمد لله رب العالمين you haven't started salah أصلا you're just reading recitation good for you okay طيب so ومن ترك ركنا غير التحريم other than تحريم okay فذكره بعد شروعه في قراءة ركعة أخرى بطلت المتروك أوكي منها وصارت التي شرع فيها قراءتها مكانها. Let's explain what that means. He says if someone leaves a rukun, okay, other than the takbirat al-ihram, so 13 of those, okay, فذكره بعد شروعه, okay, then he remembers it after, like he goes to another one, في قراءة ركعة أخرى, okay, so he gets up for the second ركعة, and he remembered مثلا he forgot one of the arkan the fatiha okay بعد شروع في قراءة ركعة أخرى بطلت المتروك منها وصارت التي شرع فيها قراءتها مكانها so he's saying if he forgot now the one he's in becomes his first one يعني if he forgot something in the first one and now he started the first one okay he started reading it and he remembered now I forgot something in the first one now the second one becomes his first because now خلاص it's a rukun remember rukun you have to make it up make it up so he says if someone leaves a rukun other than the tahrima then he remembers it if you remember in the second rak'ah example if someone remembers in the second rak'ah that he left ruku' in the previous rak'ah your second rak'ah becomes first خلاص now you start in the second one becomes actually your first and then you still have to do what sujud sahu you still have to do sujud sahu cool طيب so now he says نعم وقبله يعود فيأتي به وبما بعده وبعد سلام فكترك ركعة what's he saying if you remember in the same ركعة example you realize in sujood that you missed ركوع you started salah now you go into sujood and you remembered you forgot ركوع okay so what's he saying here you immediately go back to the missed ركوع and continue from there I started salah ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد okay I finished hi and then it goes straight to sujood you're somewhere else you start and then you realize in sujood I didn't do ruku' what do you do get up to ruku' okay and then you do ruku' سمع الله الحمد and then you go back to sujood at the end what are you gonna do sahu cool this is for rukun because a rukun you have to make it up استنى يا أيمن and then he says if you remember after taslim So the first scenario was in salah. After taslim, I finished. If it's a short gap, we said, then you just repeat one rak'ah. You missed, مثلا, ruku'. You make up the whole rak'ah. طيب. And you still do sahu? We said this is the case where you do sahu after, right? Tashahud. But if a long time passes, okay, then you have to do your whole salah again. Because you missed the whole rak'ah in this case. He then talks about like, وَحَرُمَ وَبَطُلَتْ إِنْ شَرَعَ فِي الْقِرَاءَةِ لَا إِنْ نَسِيَ أَوْ جَهِلَ. طيب, if you start the qira'ah in the second rak'ah, he says, حَرُمَ, it's haram to go back. Okay? يعني if now you prayed your first rak'ah, you got up, and you start, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and you remembered, you didn't do a ruku'ah. He says, it's haram to go back. خلاص, now you're in your second one. You're in your second one, but it's gonna count as your first one. خلاص, you cannot go back and make it up. Remember, because we said you could go back and make it up if you remember before you start the second one. تمام. But now he says, وحرم وبطلت إن شرع في القراءة لا إن نسي أو جهل. Not if he forgets or he's ignorant. ويتبع مأموم, and the imam follows. Someone asked me about the imam, and the imam follows. ويجب السجود لذلك مطلقا. We're almost done. If you add an extra rak'ah and then remember, okay, then go immediately to tashahud and end the prayer with sujood sahu. Before the taslim, we talked about, so this is ziyada. Okay, if you add an extra rak'ah, and then remember, go immediately to shahud, and end the prayer with the sujood sahu before the taslim. Every movement to correct a particular aspect of the prayer requires one to say takbira, takbir as well. Every movement to correct a particular aspect. And we said about correcting. يعني, you forgot, you're in sujood, you forgot the ruku'. Do takbira, go back, takbir, Allahu Akbar, and then you go to sujood. Does that make sense? Okay. So when you're moving, you're supposed to do takbir. This is wajib. He says, if he gets up without doing the first tashahud, forgetfully. So he gets up without doing the first tashahud, forgetfully. Okay. So we prayed two rak'ahs. Okay. And then he got up right away from sujood. He didn't stay. Okay. The second rak'ah, he's supposed to do the first tashahud. If he gets up without doing the first tashahud forgetfully, okay. If you are on the way and realize midway, you must go back. Otherwise, okay. So you just prayed two rak'ahs, okay. You're doing your sujood. You're supposed to go for sit down, صح? التحيات لله. But you just got up, and halfway you're like, oh, you go back down. That's fine. You do that. You go back down. Tamam. So he says, if you're on the way and realize mid movement, you must go back. Otherwise, the prayer is invalid because now you're knowingly not doing a wajib. That's the problem, right? So if you now realize you forgot a wajib, which is sitting down, okay, there, you need to go back. He says, if you stood up straight, then it is dislike to go back. خلاص, you forgot to first tashahud, you got up and you're straight, it's dislike to go back, right? Especially here, like you're going to confuse people, okay, but they're going to start saying, subhanAllah, that's where the imam has to calm down and relax, okay? But it is permissible. If you start reciting Fatiha, then it's haram to go back. Okay, if you start reading Fatiha, okay, then it's haram for you to go back. You will just, khalas, remember the wajib now, you don't have to make it up. The wajib now, the first tashahud, no problem. So follower should just follow his imam in all above cases. Even if imam skips first tashahud and gets up, you follow him, okay? And then he'll do sahu for you and you'll do sahu, okay? طيب. I think that's it. If you doubt anything, yeah. Let's just finish this doubt and we're done. That's it, we're done. So now he says, ويبني على اليقين وهو الأقل وهو الأقل من شك في ركن أو عدد يبني على اليقين. يعني this is a قاعدة in fiqh, right? That you go according to what's certain. Is it four or three? What's certain? Three. Okay. So you go with three. خلاص, I pray three. It could have been four, but you're only sure that it's three. So if you doubt anything, you go about what you are certain about. Whether it comes to a rukun or number of rak'ahs. If rukun, you assume that you didn't do it, okay? If number of rak'ahs, you go by the lower number, right? So if you're thinking, did I say Fatiha or not? The assumption is you didn't, okay? If doubtful, I said Fatiha or not, khalas. So then that whole unit is gone. You have to make up one more unit. If I'm not sure if I did four or I did three, خلاص, you go with three and you do another one, okay? And then you do your sahu. So we've covered increasing, decreasing, okay? يعني نقص, and we covered الشك. Cool? طيب. Now we can do that then. Now, تفضل. Yeah. How fast should you pray?
Yeah.
Yani, there's no, yani, as long as you, how fast should you pray? You shouldn't pray fast. That's the answer. You shouldn't pray fast unless you need to pray fast. Yani, you're in a hurry or something. As long as you fulfill the obligations. Tamam? Is there sahu in nafil prayer? Yes, there is. In nafil prayer as well. Yani, if you're praying a nafil prayer, you've committed to a nafil prayer, you should also do it properly. It has arkan. Tamam? But you should also do your sahu in that one. Now, let's take one more question and then we'll do the adhan. This one? So he said, if you add an extra rak'ah and then remember, then go immediately. Yeah. So in tahalla, so what he's saying here is that if you are, like you said, if you prayed your four and you're praying your fifth one now, and then you realize, yeah, that's the fifth one. So he's saying you go down to the tashahhud. Khalas, there's no need to bring the rest. Tashahhud. Say salam. Finish your tashahhud. You could do sajdatin sahu. Okay. And then salamu alayhi. Does that make sense? Yeah, go down. Yeah, because now you're adding intentionally. See, what that's why they say you're not allowed to add intentionally. Because remember I said, عَمْدًا تَبْطُلُ الصَّلَةِ. But this is sahwan. Oh, okay, I'm on my fifth one. Okay, let me go down. Okay, and then sahu for adding extra. Tamam. We'll end here. Inshallah, we'll review sahu next week, inshallah, because it's one of those interesting ones. And maybe we'll do some examples next week, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.